Rabbi Sai, let's discuss today the Minhagim of Erev Yom Kippur. There are many beautiful Minhagim. There's a sacred day, one day a year, a very, very beautiful day, a holy day, and we do so many different things on Erev Yom Kippur. It's amazing. You can't even count the different Minhagim. Let's go one at a time. Maybe one thing, we'll select a few. One thing is kaparas. Okay, now the truth is, because we live in a very different type of world today and there's not enough time for anything, and everything is very complex, so the truth is we really end up spreading out the minhagim that were originally intended to be done Erev Yom Kippur. We spread it out over you know, some of them at least, over a longer period of time. And one, for example, is kaparas. Okay, there is a minhag kadmoi to take on Erev Yom Kippur, a tarnagol, and to swing it around your head a couple of times, and to say that when it's in the siddur, that zu chalifasi ze tarnagol yelech lemisa v'ani ikones l'chayim toivim. I don't know the exact words of peh, but we take a tarnagol and we swing it around our heads, and we in essence says that this tarnagol is going to be killed. It's going to die. Okay, we'll talk about everything 100%. People use money, people use fish, people use all different types of things. All different types, but there's a minute called kaparas. Now, let me read you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. When was the Shulchan Aruch written? How many years ago in Mayevsky? 400 years ago, the Shulchan Aruch was written by Rav Yosef Kairoi. And what does he write? He writes, Ma shenayagin la'asais kapara. Doesn't call it kaparos, to do a kapara, but erev yom kippurim lishchoit, to slaughter a tarnagol, a male hen, al kol ben zohar, upon the head of every male. Doesn't talk about women over here, notice. The loymar olav pisukim, and to recite pisukim yesh limnoya haminug. Don't do it. He cites the minug to reject it. The Mechaber, Beis Yosef, do not do this. If you pass Avenue J and you see there stacks of birds in these plastic crates and hear all this noise and hear this smell, you have to tell them, open up the shul. What are you doing? Are you an Orthodox Jew? It says, especially Flappish became a Sephardi neighbor now. So, you know, the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef. It says over here, Yesh Limnoya HaMinhog, do not do this.
So where's the
minhag? Wait, one thing at a time. 400 years ago, okay, he says not to do this. Beis Yosef knew everything. He started to talk to the Magid. Malach came to him every night to learn with him Torah. He says, don't do this. And all the commentators explain, it's dark in Hoimari. What do you think? What do you think? There's a shortcut. By taking a bird, I can do all the other errors I want. And now when there's a din, upon a person, so let the bird, let it go in my place, and I am Yotzel Chayim Tayyim Aruchim. What is this? Focus? What kind of religion is this? You take a bird, and you slaughter a bird, and you swing it around your head? Oh, this is Darkei Hoimari. The Levush writes, what kind of meaning is this? This is Mamish Darkei Hoimari, to do such a thing, to fool yourself in thinking you can take a bird and swivel it around your head and say a few psukim and then give it to a shaychet, and you don't even know what happens to it. Many birds, unfortunately, they end up in the garbage. They end up in the garbage and not a kosher shchita. And that's it. And now you can go and you can sit back, relax, and all is forgiven. Darkei ho'emoyri yesh limnoya haminog.
Theoretically, you don't have to give it a shaykhet. You just kill it and forget it.
Yeah. It doesn't say by giving it its stock. We have to study all the minhag, all the makaris. Okay? One thing at a time. We're going to go through some few things. There's a little few things. But this is what it says. I'm reading you the best. Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Mash and I hagim lasais kapara be'er yom kippurim l'shchoit tarnagol. Notice he doesn't even mention over here when the mechaber quotes, he doesn't mention swiveling around your head. He just says to be shoychit a tarnagol. Al kol ben zochor. He does not even mention a female. V'loy marolof pisukim. You say pisukim. We don't say pisukim. We say mizmor tehillim. Okay, we do say. We say bnei adam yoshev. Okay, we say a mizmor. V'loy ma'alof pesukim yesh limnoya haminik. Who comes to the rescue? Uvnei Yisrael Yaitzin biyod ramah. Biyod ramah with a hey. But forget about Tiktok. Ramah with an aleph. Rav Moshe Isserles. The ramah. Hagor. The ramah comes to save the day. The yesh mehagoin. And he cites the ramah hagor. The ramah in Shulchan Aruch. He cites the goin. The stim tof reshei. He cites the goinim. Who, which goin? Rav Haigoin. Okay, Rav Haigoin, that's the one who really says it explicitly. Rav Haigoin is the one who says this. The yesh mehagoinim shekosvu b'minog zeh. They write about this minog. V'chein kosvu oisei rabim mincho acharoinim. Many of the achroinim mention the minog of what the Mechaber is referring to. V'chein noihagin b'chol medinois elu v'ein l'shanois. Okay, the Ramah says, I know what the Mechaber said, I know about the Levush, Darkei Hoi Mari, I know the danger that's involved in being misled and thinking that Judaism, there are shortcuts. I know. But Rav Haigoin endorses the Minhag. All of the Achroin, Rav Haigoin lived from the time of the Ramah, probably 500-600 years. The Achroin mention it, it's the Minhag Yisrael, at least in Ashkenaz, at least in Poland. He was in Krakow. Krakow is in Poland. And he represented many Jews in Germany as well. Not really, yes and no. Not exactly the same. That was part of the critique. Of he doesn't represent all of Ashkenaz. But this is the minog. B'chol medinos elu ve'en l'shanos. Ki hu minog v'sikin. He writes very sharp words. This is an ancient minog. Minog v'sikin means, in this context, it means ancient. And then he goes further. He adds to the minhag, not just what it says in the Mechaber, they take the yeshecht, a male, a bird for the ben zohar. Vinoyhagin, he really upgrades the minhag. Likach tarnegol zohar le zohar ulenikeva leichin tarnegol les. For a male, you take a male bird, and for a female, you take a female hen. Is that what they do today by these places?
Yeah.
Okay, Gultarna Goyles.
You don't know?
No, I never did it. I have a sore spot for the Sfarim. I never did it. My parents, they used them, used money.
I heard a Rav explain this.
I have nothing against it. Maybe I'll do it this year.
Chazal found many objections to this stream.
I just said that.
They were reluctant to cancel it because the chickens were going for tzedakah as an addition to everything.
It doesn't say that anywhere. That's a new thing.
That's why they didn't.
Chadoshim, that's a new thing. Okay.
That's why they didn't ban
it. It doesn't say that it goes for tzedakah. It doesn't say that that's a new thing, that they give it. The later achrayim, you should give the chickens for the aniyim. The aniyim, first of all, okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's see. We'll discuss a few things. And then he says something which is a whole topic in and of itself, which we're not going to discuss, is that a woman who's pregnant, the loichim limu uberes beis tarnegolim to males. Ulai teled beis tarnegolim, ulai teled zohar. Now, what does that mean exactly? You take for a woman who's muberes two tarnegolim, males, because maybe she'll give birth to a male. Now, wait, what about the mother? So the way they explain the Ramah is you take two birds, a male and a female. A female bird for the mother, and a male bird just in case the mother will give birth to a male. Now, the big question, which everyone is shocked, what happens if she gives birth to a female? Oh. So that's one of the answers, that if she gives birth to a female, ubar yerech imoy, then the bird that's going to be a kapara for the mother will be a kapara for her daughter. But if she gives birth to a zohar, then it cannot be that the bird that was used for her can apply for her son. That's why you take an addition to the female bird, you take an additional male bird. Maybe she'll give birth to a zohar, so now the zohar will be covered by the male bird.
All right. That's your only question.
What kapara does it need? Exactly. Very, very good. What kapara does it need? Okay, you're asking a lot of tough questions here. The Rama writes very strong words. V'chein noyhagin b'chol medinos elu v'ein l'shanos. Not to deviate. Now this meaning, by the way, is said, is done to do b'feirush of the Mechaber, who rejects it, b'erev yoyim ha-kippurim. Today, unfortunately, we're not able to do this erev yom ha-kippurim because logistically, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael population, Baruch Hashem is very big, and if the whole Klal Yisrael would do this erev yom kippur, it would be a disaster. Okay, they have it open. People
and they can pay a premium price.
They have it open erev yom kippur and they do it, but it's obviously you don't know what the weather is going to be. And you don't know, and what's going to do with all the birds? So l'chatchila, they want to have them all shechted and all given to poor people. Problem is, to do a mass slaughter, you need qualified shechtim, and they have to do bedikos, and everything has to be prepared, and it's just logistically a nightmare in such a short period of time to allow to have an operation for the masses to do kaparis. It's just not possible. Memela, the minhag has become that we do it during the aseres yimei teshuva. Someone who wants to do it well, so that we can do that already. There are places you have to know where to go. It's done very professionally, and the birds indeed are shechted kedasuch din, and they're given to anim. But you need some time. You just can't do it all in a moment's notice. Yeah.
The original minhag was that you did it erev Yom Kippur,
and they would shecht it, and then you would use it for Yisus Mavsakis. Right, so it's not necessarily tzedakah. Right, this that we said.
Because they didn't have refrigeration. If you do it early in the week, you're going to have a bad chicken to eat.
Logistically, it's very, very difficult. If it really needs to be done, Klal Yisrael would figure out a way to get it done. We all know that. We have a lot of organizations out there today, a lot of machers that would somehow get it done the right way, but it does not appear to be so critical, so therefore it's not really, it's very difficult, especially their government. The government does not like this. They don't like this, the government. And we're not looking over here to start up with them. The Goyim, we give them Golas. The Goyim, who in this neighborhood, they don't like this. They don't like this. It smells. Animal rights. Who knows? It's a chil Hashem. You have to know. You have to use your sechel. Listen now. There are certain things. Let's discuss some halach issues. So over here, was basically pointing out over here is that this minug, according to the Mechaber was not pleased with this minug. It borders on darkei hoimuri. No one should be foolish to think that by slaughtering a bird, that's going to bring salvation to a person. And what is this minhag really all about? However, the Rama says, "Ve'ein l'shanis, we do not deviate." Where does this come from? So it's the goyim. It seems that it came from the time of the goyim. And who were before the goyim? The Rabbanan Savaroi. Who was before the Rabbanan Savaroi? The Amoraim. Before the Amoraim was the Mishnah, and then was the Bayesheni. So it seemed that until the time. We have no record they ever did this during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, during the time of the Tanoim, the Amoraim, and even the Rabbanan Savaroi. And this first came into existence shortly before the Rishonim, shortly before, let's say, the 11th century. However, some want to say that really it's the Beferush in Rashi. This Rashi explaining the Daf Gemara. This minhag in a different form was done in the time of the Amoraim, which would take the minhag back at least another 500 years, at least 500 years before Rav Haigoin. And Rashi is very clear. Rashi tells exactly what they did. And Rashi, there are a number of differences. And what it was called, let me read the exact word, it's called Hai Por Pisa. Now, what is a Por Pisa? Rashi is discussing the laws of which laws are we discussing? I'm not exactly sure which sugi is in context, but Rashi, Derech Agav, explains what a poor pisa is. Rashi says that the minhag was Erev Rosh Hashanah, not Erev Yom Kippur. You would take a plant, like in a pot. What would you do 22 days before Rosh Hashanah? you would plant seeds in a pot. You would plant seeds. It takes the seeds to take root. It takes them about 14 days. And then after it takes root, it takes about 3 days for them to grow a little bit. And when you do that 22 days before Rosh Hashanah, mm-hmm. you have 14, 15, 16, 17. So if you begin the process by taking a pot and taking fertilizer and taking these seeds in this pot and you plant it, so it'll take again 2 weeks to take root and then 3 weeks for it to grow just a little bit. You come now to the 25th day of Elul. The 25th day of Elul is the day when Hashem created the world. Adam HaRishon was created 6 days later. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of Yom HaShishi, the sixth day of creation. If Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, is the anniversary of the sixth day of creation, that means creation commenced on the 25th day of Elul. So now on the 25th day of Elul, you have growth. You have some blades of grass, in essence. And you, I guess, you wait with these blades of grass. I don't know. It doesn't seem you do it then. Maybe you did. I'm not really clear. Rashi says you do it Erev Rosh Hashanah. Maybe you did it then on the 25th day. You take those blades of grass and you pluck them out of this flower pot, and you throw it into the water. As a marshal of saying that man is kitzitz hasodeh. We actually say this in the Unesana Taikef at the end of the Sana Taikef. And Adam, man, is kitzel oiver uchitzitz noivel. It's like a piece of grass that just decays. There's a pasuk. There's actually a pasuk in Tillim which compares a person to. Here's the pasuk. A pasuk in Tillim, Mizmor Kuf Gimel, Enosh, man, kechotzir yomav kitzitz hasadeh kein yotzitz. In this pasuk, the pasuk says that man is nothing more than a piece of grass. And we take this grass that grows in this flower pot on the anniversary of the creation of the world, and we throw it into the water as if to say, Ribbono shel Olam, in case we are chayev misa, so let this be in our place.
If it was the bread and tashla, the same idea?
The bread and tashla, you're feeding the fish. When you throw the bread and the tashla, you're feeding the fish. I don't know. But this is really the earliest mikar of anything that resembles what tashlich, what kaparos is all about. Let me read you the words of Rashi exactly. Hai purpisa, shari litaltule b'shabbos. This is the sugi of muksa. Are you allowed to carry on Shabbos this item called the purpisa? You have an object called the purpisa. You look it up in the muksa books. In the article muksa, in the back, they have an index of all the different objects that are commonly found in the house, if they're muksa. And if they are muksa, what kind of muksa? Muksa machmas iser, muksa machmas chsaron kis, muksa machmas nils. So look in the book if they have purpisa. Rashi, because the Gemara says, hi purpisa, shorei litaltulei b'shabbos. What is a purpisa? The alzeh kos of Rashi, you know what a purpisa is? It's a flower pot. Otzitz nokuv, shezaroi boy, seed has been put into this flower pot. And Rashi quotes the Goinim. Rashi quotes what the Gemara. So the Gemara is described. The Gemara was written by Ravina Rav Ashi. The Gemara was written approximately 500 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which is about 1500. Is about 1500 years ago. 1500 years ago. Rashi quotes the Goinim. Uvit Teshuvas HaGoinim Motzasi. Rashi goes further to explain what is it. So he says, let me go right over here, which is going to Matsasi, She'oisin choisolois mikapois tamarim. They would make flower pots from the branches of the lulav. Like, you know, you take the lulav and you break it apart and you make a basket. Umimalin oisam ofar vizevel behem, and you fill it up with earth and fertilizer. The eshim shnaim, 22 days, oi, chamisha osso yam, 15 days, lefnei Rosh Hashanah, every parent would, and here's a very fascinating insight into what's going on over here,
that every parent would make a separate flower pot, fill it up with earth, add some fertilizer for every child that lives in the house, for children. L'chol katan u'katana shabayis v'zoydin l'soichon pul hamitzri. And they put in Egyptian beans. Why Egyptian beans? I don't know. Oy kidneys. Okay, different time. Maybe that was common. Pul hamitzri or kidneys. The current loy and this flower pot that has been designated in, for every single child that is filled with earth and fertilizer and planted pul hamitzri or kidneys, it is called purpisa. It's called purpisa. And this thing, it's not muksa on Shabbos. It's not muksa. I guess it's not mukhubu l'karka. There's no hole in the flower pot. It's not mukhubu, so it's not muksa. And v'tzameach, and he goes on to explain, uve erev Rosh Hashanah, not erev Yom Kippur, erev Rosh Hashanah, noitel kolechot shaloi, everyone takes it, umachaziroi svivois roishoi, shiva pa'amim, and you swing it around your head 7 times around the head of every of the child. The oimer, and you say, ze tacha ze, v'ze chalifasi, v'ze temurasi, umashlichoi linahor. So you see in Beferish the Gemara that this minik of a week, this is daf pei aleph, mesechta Shabbos. Mesechta Shabbos, daf pei aleph. Pei aleph, amid beis. Got it? Pei aleph, amid beis, mesechta Shabbos. So here you see clear that there, the origin of what we call kaparis by swinging birds around our head is rooted in the time of the Amoraim, where they had something called a purpisa, which was not a bird, it was a flower pot. It was primarily done for children, and they did this 22 days before Rosh Hashanah that it should take root, the 12 days, 14 days to take root, 3 days it should grow, and that brings them that you have a growth that's on the 25th day of Elul, and then you wait until Rosh Hashanah, and then you go and you throw it into the Yam. And over here in the Avnei Yishayim, it explains, he brings down more Mepharshim and explains, like this is very fascinating, in case, what the parents are saying is, in case there is a gezera that my zera should be yichle, that my seed, my progeny, should come to an end. Okay, that's the worst thing, that a person leaves over nothing in this world, does not leave over children in this world, in case there is a gezera that my zera should be yichle, let that gezera be fulfilled in this flower pot. Because in this flower pot, I have put zera. And the zera, the seed that I put in this flower pot is a dugma for my child. My child is my zera. So here I have a flower pot that I've deposited zera, and it has blossomed. And the blossoms is the tzitz hasodeh. And in case there's a gezera that my zera should be yichle, let it be niskayim when I take the zera and I throw it into the yam. And to indicate that to be the case, I swing it around my head or my child's head and I say, ze tacha ze, ze, ze chalifasi, ze temurasi, ze, whatever. So obviously this is where it comes from. Now over the generations, somehow, we do not know how, this, no one today, you never heard of a person today doing this, planting a flower pot with pul hamitzri or kidneys, you never heard something like this. Somehow, this has transformed into a different minhag, where we do something very similar, we take a tarnagoilas, and the commentators explain that the word, the Hebrew word for a tarnagoilas is a gever. A gever. The term used in Chazal is hanoisin, is a gever, so a tarnagol is a dugma of a gever, and we do something similar. Ze tacha ze. Okay, then there are many other commentators that elaborate upon that. I don't want to go further, but they say there are other elements in this procedure which it's not really, we're not fooling ourselves, but when you observe the loss of life, it shakes you up. When you see something which represents you, ze chalifasi ze tumurasi, and then a sharp knife is taken and the bird is slaughtered, it's disturbing. It is a visual technique to awaken a person to the severity of the Yom HaDin. And when you look at it and from that point of view, it's not important that you should give the bird to a poor person. So there are no aniyim. Throw the bird in the garbage. Let's say that maybe you don't even need to do a kosher shechita. The point is, you witness the death of a living creature that you have designated to represent you. And when you see something like that, it shakes you up. And you enter into the Yom HaDin in a different frame of mind. Now some go a little bit further. I really like this part. This part really appeals to me. And this is a tremendous chiddush, is that the main part of what we do of kaparos is not slugging it around your head and not the shechita. The main element is the kisui hadam. The goal is, you take the bird. The bird is a gever. A man represents you. Yeah, you say zeh chalifas, zeh tumurasi, you say tehillim. And, you know, the bird will go litztaka. You can't go wrong with that. You have a good bird, so you might as well give the bird for poor people. That's the greatest thing you can do, give a good tzedakah. But then comes the moment of truth. Shechita. Okay, you get shaken up. But then there's blood. There's blood all over the place. And then you take the earth, v'chisahu be'ofar. You cover the blood. A mitzvah d'oraisa, you make a bracha. The act of covering the blood is what we're really being mevakesh on Yom HaKippurim. The blood is the nefesh of the animal. We are guilty. We are deserving that our blood, Rachmana Litzlan, you know, should be spilled. By covering the blood, it's a way of saying, take this away. Take away the dam, the shvichas hadam, and we are deserving of. The inyan of kisui hadam is this blood. Look, terrible. Loss of life. Loss of life. No, I don't want to see this. Cover this up. There should not be blood. There should not be shvichas damim. There should not be a loss of life. When a person dies naturally, it's called his blood is no longer. The goal is to be mekayim the mitzvah of kisui hadam erev Yom HaKippurim.
But it's usually only
that. No, so we're missing the whole point. That's why these things are very impractical. Exactly. In the modern world today, that's right. So you that so in a chanami, if this what I'm saying to you is correct, if this is correct,
when he shuts for you, if you get to places that do it, he lets you do kisui hadam.
Many people, there are different with a bracha. There are many places where they have a shaykhin on premises, and that's all the goal. The goal is for you to do kisui hadam. That's the goal. It depends where you go. Many places, they're not equipped for this. You go there, they have a bird in a crate, and you swing the bird, and they put the bird back into the crate. And then when you go away, they take out the same bird, and they give it to someone else. They're not supposed to do that. Okay? But and then what do they do with the birds? Who knows? They take the birds, supposedly they shach the birds, and they give it to aniyim. Or they just throw the birds, they discard the birds. So every element of what they do, there is an inyan. You cannot deny. Even if they don't shach the birds. Even if they give the birds to Goyim, okay, just taking the bird and swinging the bird around you, zeh chalifasi, zeh tumurasi, even if the bird doesn't go litztaka, even if it's not slaughtered, every element has an inyan. But somehow the ikur is kisui hadam. And in a good place, when you go to some of these places where they do kaparis, they have a shaychet on premises who encourages you, and people who are into this, they are very makbid to do the kisui hadam. And some opinions understand that the reason why the minhag today has morphed from taking just zera and throwing the zera into the yam to taking the gever, the bird, and doing this process, today the minhag has morphed into an opportunity to be mekayim erev Yom Kippur kisui hadam. Because I don't know the in Yoni Kabbalah, but you don't have to be a makubal to appreciate this. Kisui hadam is a very powerful mitzvah that counteracts din. It's Hashem as Rachmanis. There's blood on the floor. That means a living creature has died. Don't remind me of death, Hashem. Don't let death just be out in the streets. There's blood spilled in the streets. Death is not something that we like. The concept that there should be blood, there should be an awareness, a residue of misa, of death in this world, we don't want this. Cover it. The act of covering is almost like a bakasha, l'chaim v'loy l'mavis. Dam should be covered. V'loy l'mavis. There's no mavis. Mavis goes away. Get rid of the mavis. You're doing a dogma, get rid of the death in this world. The coming year, Simana Milsa, should be a year of l'chaim. Get the blood out of here. The goal of Kaparis is the Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvos V'Tzivanu Al Kisui Hadam. This is not voodoo. This is a bracha B'Shemu Malchus, which captures a bakasha. There's no misa. Away, arois, l'chaim. That's for me. I can't. It's a game changer in appreciating what is the purpose of doing kaparis.
This is just a minhag,
just a minhag.
Korbanot are the same way. But actually, korban chatat. What is this? Something. A person chatat.
Okay, so okay, some say that. Okay, but that's dangerous. This is a dangerous thing to do with that. First of all, because then some, you can't bring a bird as a carbon. That's what some of the objections to this. The shulichutz, the carbonites are only offered in the Beis Hamikdash by kohanim with a very, very specific set of rules. To do a dogma of a carbon is a very dangerous idea. Many of them actually mention what you say.
The idea of kapara.
Right, to remind us of kapara, but we're doing a dogma of what resembles a carbon. To take a living creature and to slaughter it outside the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah, bizman hazen chutz li'aretz. There's no such thing as a carbon with a bird. Birds is malika. This Malika, but it goes against you. You're violating every single law of Korbanos, and you're not allowed to bring Korbanos. To suggest that we're doing a dogma of a carbon in Chutz Li'aretz, that's a very dangerous approach. In a Hanami, that's what you want to say. The Metamad Minig is in a Hanami.
Why do we say Zekapalati?
It's a kasha. It's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. It's a good kasha. It is very dangerous. I don't know.
Is there a better word to use?
It is. There are a lot of questions. This minhag has been always a controversy throughout history. It's a very lebedika topic. Okay, this to me is new. I never saw this idea. Maybe I did, I just don't remember. Is that an ikor of kaparis is the opportunity to make a bracha with Hashem's name, b'shemu malchus, to dwell upon a mitzvah that reveals Hashem does not want death. Death, unfortunately, it's necessary. Okay, shechita, that's how the world works. But it's not something the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And he gave us the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. We use that concept. We exploit that concept, Erev Yom Kippur, as a way of saying to Hashem, you don't want death. You gave us a mitzvah to cover the blood. So you're going to go and you're going to judge chas v'shalom a person on Yom HaKippurim l'maves? Oh, I just made a bracha b'shem malchus al kisui adam. This is something which is not accepted. Okay, it opens up a powerful dimension into the inyan of kaparis. And of course, everyone has their minug. Many people today, they use money. And it goes litztaka. Okay, because this minhag appears to have been such a sacred minhag, it seems that throughout Jewish history, people don't want to let go of it. And even if they cannot fulfill it the way it was intended, and a lot of questions, everyone has to chaperayin epis some attachment. So if you can't use a bird, you use money. and the money, if you don't like all these ideas, so the money goes lit tzedakah, you can't argue with that. No one's going to argue with giving tzedakah, tzedakah, tatzil mimaves. No one's going to, you say some tehillim, what's so terrible? You do something different. It's brought down in Rashi. Rashi talks about this, the Goinim, Hai Par Pisa, you can't ignore the Gemara. And the Steichemet, who is a Sephardi, he says that, guess what? The Sfardim do this today also. With all respect to the Bet Yosef, the Sfardim also, to a very large degree, I don't know, you have to ask your local Sfardi, Rabbi Mizrahi, is he here? Do you do this? The Moroccans do this? Okay, so the Sfardim we have over here, case in point. We have here a Talmud of the Bet Yosef, and he says that the Sfardim do this as well. The Steichemet says, today, everyone does this minhag. Everyone, even the Sfardim, embrace the minhag. I'm sure you'll find people that don't do it, but their klal, it is accepted in the whole klal Yisrael to a very large degree in different forms. Everyone has a different focus. There are more in Yana, but I want to go weiter. There are more in Yana about kaparis. You can mamish, there's pages and pages, there's many different elements about it, but let's leave this for a moment. I want to go to another interesting topic. I found this something new to me. Going to mikvah. Okay, there's a minog to go to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur. Now, you have to understand, not everyone can go to mikvah. Mikvah, especially when everyone, public mikvah, everyone is in the same mikvah. Today health is a major, major issue. Some people can get cellulitis in the mikvah. If the mikvah is not clean, and a person has an infection, you got to be very, very careful. Okay, so not everyone, you know, mikvah is a beautiful inyan. Today, many doctors will tell patients, you can't go to mikvah. Mikvah has to be mamish, perfectly clean, Erev Yom Kippur. It's a mad rush. There are thousands of people that are going in the same water. It is impossible to maintain the cleanliness. And a person who is compromised, it might not be the best idea for every person to go to mikvah. But chazim ha-madavar, the mikvahs are packed. A minig to go to mikvah Erev Yom Kippur. Now, there's a minig to go to mikvah really on the shoulder going. Okay, chayiv adam letaheris atzmoy boregel. There's an inyan to go to mikvah Erev Rosh Hashanah. People go Erev Rosh Hashanah. And there are people who go to mikvah in this community every Erev Shabbos. And there are people who go to mikvah every single day. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to go to a mikvah. And Baruch Hashem, today there are some beautiful, clean, ultra-high-tech, state-of-the-art mikvahs today in this community, Chasdei Hashem, and it's a very beautiful mikvah, and you can hear, you don't need me to tell you about going to mikvah. However, Erev Yom Kippur is in a category by itself. Because Erev Yom Kippur, we go to mikvah for midin a baal teshuvah. One of the elements of doing teshuvah, besides vidui and Kabbalah al Ha'osid, Teshuvah, and in all the elements is part of the process of going to mikvah, of doing Teshuvah is to go to mikvah. When a person goes to mikvah, you're going into a world that you can't exist. A person cannot remain in this drush, a person cannot remain in a mikvah, in water for more than how many minutes, I don't know. What you need oxygen, you're going into a mokum where you cannot possibly survive. You're going into your mother's womb. A baby in the mother's womb is in water. It's in water. So you're either going back, you're returning to your natal existence, prenatal existence. You're going into the world before you were al pnei hamoyim. And then when you come up from the mikvah, you're a new person. Tahara. It is a chelek of doing teshuvah. And in fact, the Mishnah Brura says you should dunk in the mikvah three times. Three times. Keneged, chotosi, avisi, poshati. When you go to mikvah Erev Shabbos, one time. You go under, you come up, you're done. There's no need to go more than once. Only when it comes to Erev Yom Kippur is there an inyan to dunk three times. Chotosi, avisi, poshati. It is a chelek of the process of teshuva. Ideally, the best time to go to mikvah is after chatzos. Some say you can be mekel, you can go an hour before chatzos. because already Chatzos starts like an hour before. Today, it's not all that practical for many people to do that because they don't want to go during the mad rush. So they go in the morning. Olam is Mekel. Olam is Mekel. Some even go the night before. Whatever it is, it is. Now, here comes a very big chiddush. Rav Sadia Goin Paskins. Now, when a man today goes to mikvah, generally, does he ever make a bracha? Of course not. Women, when they go to mikvah, they make a bracha. When a woman goes to mikvah, going to mikvah for a woman is a deiraisa. A woman is also, she's a nida, she's also labaila, unless she goes to mikvah with all of the halachas of hilchos nida, and the mele, because it's a mitzvah deiraisa, it is a requirement. When a woman goes to mikvah, a woman makes a bracha. Men never make a bracha when they go to mikvah. When they go to mikvah, let's say a person goes to mikvah for Yom Tov, for in honor of the Sholoi Shragolim, Chayiv Adam L'Taher Atzmoy Beregel. There's an inyan to go to the mikvah, the Zman Hazeh, for the Sholoi Shragolim. Does a person, when he goes to the mikvah, does he make a bracha? No. No such thing. Oh, Chayiv Adam L'Taher Atzmoy Beregel? Okay, whatever it is, no, there's no makar to make a bracha. However, when it comes Erev Yom Kippur, and we go to mikvah because we all together balei teshuva, Rav Sadia Goin famously paskind, you make a bracha. You go to the mikvah, you make a bracha. When do you make the bracha? I would imagine when you come up, right? When you come up, because that's when you talk. What do nashim do? I don't know. I think when they come, I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe, I don't know, whatever it is. I don't know, whatever. You make a bracha. At some point in time, you make a bracha. A ger makes a bracha when he comes up. I think each nashim make it before they dunk. So Rav Sadia Goin Paskins, men, Erev Yom Kippur, when they go to mikvah, they should make a bracha. Sherik kedushan b'mitzvah al hatfilah. Did you ever see someone in the mikvah do this? You never heard this before, right? This is shaloika halacha. Rav Sadia Goin's opinion has been thoroughly rejected by everyone. So you check. Women make a bracha. Women check. So we'll have a shiurim in the Flatbush community how to do a proper inspection for chatzitza for the men. Okay, there'll be shiurim given in order that if that is what the halacha is, don't worry. There'll be someone will make a lot of money on this, giving private lessons how to make sure there's no chatzitza. It will be a big thing. However, many of the Rishonim have come along and they have said, with all due respect to Rav Sadia Goin, this is not acceptable. We do not follow this practice to make a bracha Erev Yom Kippur when you go to mikvah. What's taka the lumdis of why Rav Sadia Goin? So he writes over here something that is really earth-shattering. He says like this. He says that in the Gemara taught Ezra HaSofer, we all know was Mesakein, we call Tzvilas Ezra. And this is in the Gemara. And that is, a person, there are three things that a person cannot do if he is Tameh. When I say Tameh, I mean a Baal Keri. We're now referring to Tumas Meis. Let's take a step back. There are, just very quick, a person who is no longer alive, what does the Chevra Kadisha do to the person? If they have the ability to do so, they're Toivel the Meis in a Mikvah. A Tahara. And what is part of the Tahara? They're Toivel the mace in a mikvah. If they don't have a mikvah, they do tisha kabin. They pour 9 kabin of water on the person. Why would you do that? A person is the avi avois hatoma. How could you possibly be mitaher a mace? A mace is the avi avois hatoma. What are you doing? You're putting him in a mikvah? What are you accomplishing? So what is the answer? No, you're right. We're not putting a person in the mikvah to be mitayer him from tumas mis meis. We're putting him in the mikvah to be mitayer him from tumas keri. Tumas keri has nothing in common with tumas meis. There are different types of contamination. You cannot be mitayer a dead person from the dead. He's dead. Today there's no para aduma ashes. So and there's no point in going to mikvah today to be mitayer from tumas meis. Today, mikvah primarily is to be mitayer a person from keri. Mikrei laila, keri. That's the main purpose. There is another purpose of going to mikvah, which is called Toisefes Kedusha. Even if a person wants 100% tahar, going to the mikvah, you add a darga of tahara. That's, you know, those are like more Kabbalistic type of things. Okay, those Hasidim are into this. They go every day, Toisefes tahara. But Erev Yom Kippur, we're not going for Toisefes tahara. Erev Yom Kippur, we're really going for teshuvah. See, there are many different types of reasons why you go to a mikvah. One is, like we said, Toisefes tahara. One is because of Tumas Meis, which doesn't really apply today because you need with that tefillah the Par Aduma, which we do not have. And then there is Keri. And then there is a Baal Teshuvah. A Baal Teshuvah. So we started today. The reason why we go to Mikveh Erev Yom HaKippurim is not because of Keri, not because of Tumas Meis, not because of Tosefes Kedusha. It's because of a Baal Teshuvah must go to mikvah. You have to start fresh. You have to renew yourself. You go to mikvah midin, being a Baal Teshuvah. Rav Sadia Gaon holds, that's not the only reason. There's another reason why you have to go to mikvah Erev Yom HaKippurim, and that's because maybe a person is a Baal Keri, or he certainly is a Baal Keri. So he needs to cleanse himself from Tumas Keri. That's why you toivel a dead body in the mikvah. Because maybe this person, before he died, there was an emission of Keri, and he never had the opportunity to go to the mikvah. So the body needs to be cleansed from Keri. Now, how is that relevant to Erev Yom HaKippurim, when we already said that Erev Yom HaKippurim, the reason why we go to mikvah is midin teshuvah, not midin Baal Keri? So here is the chiddush. Here is an awesome chiddush. Let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says that Ezra HaSoifer was mesakein, that a person is not allowed to do, if I'm not mistaken, three things if he is a Baal Keri. If a person was with his wife at night, and he wakes up in the morning, and he wants to go to shul, he has a big problem. You're not allowed to put on tefillin if you are tamei from Keri. You're not allowed to daven to say a brocha, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, if you're a Baal Keri. You're not allowed to learn a pasuk in the Torah, to learn a daf gemara, if you are a Baal Keri. Torah is osur, tefillah is osur, and tefillin, you're not allowed to put on tefillin until you go to mikvah. This was a takana that Ezra HaSofer, when they came to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, instituted, that now on we have to elevate ourselves to a higher madrega of Kedusha in order for us to survive and be worthy of building a Bayis Sheni. Ezra HaSofer made this takana. What happened? They tried, and it didn't go off well. People, it was a gezerah, She'ein roiv hatzibur yecholim lamoid ba. And it was canceled. Just because you make a gzera, the gzera needs siyata d'shmaya to take hold. It was canceled. And halacha l'maaseh, even though it did last for a tekufa, I don't know the exact details, it did last for some tekufa in time, it was canceled. It was just a gzera, she'ein roiv hatzibur yecholim lamoid ba. Every male should get up 5 o'clock in the morning and go break the ice and dip in the mikvah. Not everyone has the ability to do that. They didn't have heated mikvahs in those days. They didn't have all of the conveniences that we have like we have today. And it just didn't go off well. Okay. However, some of the commentators hold, even though they canceled it for the whole year, it was never canceled for Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to say Baruch Ato Hashem. You're not allowed to learn on Yom Kippur unless you go to Mikvah Midin Tevilas Takona Ezra. Let me, this is a shocking chiddush. Let me read you what it says over here, so word for word. Why? Why?
All settled and everything, then you go to the mikvah.
Right, no, so Enechanami, that would be a reason why you can do it in the morning, or you can do it a week before, or you can do it all. Okay, now, my nafkamina, here's the chiddush, that's why you need to make a bracha. If the din is, if you're not permitted, After we read you these, the lomdus of what it says, it's incredible stuff. If the lomdus of why you're going to mikvah is because stamazoy, you ask the average person, why do you go to, the only time you have to really go to mikvah, if a person can only go to mikvah one day a year, Erev Yom Kippur, that's a given. Even Erev Rosh Hashanah, there's no real need to go to mikvah Erev Rosh Hashanah. Not everyone goes Erev Rosh Hashanah. The mikvah is pretty, it's not so crowded. Ask the people who collect the money. They'll tell you, they know the swipe, the go check how much money comes in from the mikvois on Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Rosh Hashanah. Nothing near what comes in Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, that's a chiyuv, midin, a baal teshuva. What, Erev Rosh Hashanah? No.
I took care of it.
Yeah?
Okay. It was pretty close.
Pretty close? Okay, I take it back then. Where I go to mikvah, I see a very big difference. I see Erev Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't seem like it's so crowded. Erev Yom Kippur is a mer, mamash a merhouse.
Because you have less hours to do it. You prepare for Yom Kippur, more people are coming, they come for the mincha, and then they come for this. It's like
all right, could be, I don't know, could be. So Rav Sadia Gaon is saying a new din. They're trying to learn Rav Sadia Gaon a new din, is that he holds the going to the mikvah, it's not only because of teshuvah. It's midin bal keri. Big deal. That's not a halacha. It's a minhag. People today are makbid, but there are people that are like that today, but that's not a halacha. No. When Ezra made a takana, Ezra HaSofer, he was the Kohen Gadol, and you know, it all comes together. Yom HaKippurim, Yom HaKippurim is the day of the Kohen Gadol. Who was the Kohen Gadol? Ezra HaSofer wasn't the Kohen Gadol.
Initially Yoshua.
It was Yoshua. He would have been the Kohen Gadol, but he didn't go up. He stayed behind with his Rebbe. Ezra, he was the Kohen. He made this takana, and in his honor, the takana was never bottle binogeya Erev Yom Kippur. Memela, there's a real takanas chazal. And the takanas chazal is, if a person does not go to mikvah and is a bal keri, he is not allowed to make a bracha. He is not allowed to learn Torah. Tefillin is not nogea Yom HaKippurim, but you're not allowed. You can't enter into the Yom HaTzvila, the day when we mamish, the whole day is tefillah. You're not allowed to say, open up your mouth. Oh, but the Konas Ezra was bottled. Yeah, it was bottled for 364 days of the year, but it was never bottled for Yom HaKippurim. Memela, if you can't proceed further and do something, unless you do something else that the rabbis required you to do, then on such a minhag or such a halacha, you make a bracha. It's a nice thing to do. It's a nice thing. You go Erev Shabbos, you go to the mikvah. Yeah, very nice. Tosefes Kedusha. The Lubavitcher Rebbe went to mikvah sometimes, they say multiple times a day. Multiple times at the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He went to mikvah. He went multiple times to the Baal. Okay, you make a bracha? No. You have to be a Baal Madrega to go to mikvah, to appreciate, to have the sensitivity. So a regular person go to mikvah. But if I can't open my, I can't make a bracha. I cannot daven the Shmona Esrei, Baruch Ato Hashem, until I go to mikvah, because that's the halacha. Ezra Sefer was a takanas chazal. When you are limited, when you are restrained, and you must do a maisa kum v'yaseh to permit you to, based upon what Chazal told you to do, that is a very high level, a very strong requirement. In fact, it's the strongest. If you are restrained from going forward until you are mekayim, the takon of Chazal, you make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kedoshanu b'mitzvos v'na'al tefillah. You make a bracha. Rav Sadia, you call in Erev Yom Kippur, you make that bracha. Now, what I told you obviously is it's shaloi kahalacha. Make it very clear, shaloi kahalacha. No one today, it's unheard of to make a bracha Erev Yom Kippur. But this whole process, this whole lomdus, it's something to appreciate. Of Rav Sadia Gaon, you can't just push Rav Sadia Gaon, and to understand that you go to mikvah for multiple reasons, whether it's tumas meis, it's Tfilas Ezra, it's Teshuva, Tosefes Kedusha. The Iker Lahalacha is we're a Balei Teshuva, and a Baal Teshuva must go to Mikvah. But, and do you make a bracha? So Ezra HaSofer, What's this noise over here? Ezra HaSofer says, Ezra HaSofer was misakin to make Yitzhilos Ezra. We don't do this today, but there is such an approach that Erev Yom Kippur we do. Let me just see if I can find it for you over here. We can find it over here. But let me just tell you maybe something before I'll turn the page. Another interesting thing, we're out of time, is what about, another interesting thing is getting Malchus. Does anyone do this today? To get Malchus Erev Yom Kippur. How many Malchus do you get? So some get 39, regular 39, and some do only get 4. Why 4? Gartel. You go and you bend over, and someone takes the Gartel, and they say 3 times, V'hu Rachum. There are 13 words in V'hu Rachum, and you say this 3 times. And the person, when they're being smitten, he says Vidui. So I saw the rabbi do this to the rabbi. The rabbi, he leaned over, and he was saying Vidui. Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gozalnu, Dibaradofi, you say Vidui. And the person, he takes the Gartel, and he goes on the left side, the right side, on which way first, V'hu Rachum, and then in the middle. On the middle, V'hu Rachum, you go, you alternate between the left shoulder, the right shoulder, and the person's head. You do this 39 times, and you say, as you, each time you do Malchus, you say V'hu, the next word in the sequence. That's how they gave Malchus in Bezdin. In Bezin, but here you don't use a whip, you use a garatul, and don't hurt the guy. And then there are minhagim to give mamish dalid misais bezdin. So he describes how you give dalid misais bezdin. How do you do this? So how do you do sreifa? So it says you take a candle, and a wax candle, and you allow it to drip hot wax on a person's skin. Okay, and then how you chenik? You take the garatul, you tie around the guy's neck, and you pull. Don't pull too tight.
Don't try this.
You pull a little bit around the person's neck. How do you do herig? I don't understand what it says. It sounds like there's 4 people. First, should lie down on the floor. I don't understand this. And they should shove him. They should give him a shove. That's called herig, decapitation. I don't know. I don't understand what that means. And skila, scary. They should throw teeny pebbles. Three teeny pebbles at him, and then the person himself should take a big stone and bang it against his heart. Don't try this at home.
Where is this?
I have to show you here. I couldn't make this up, you know. I couldn't come up with this type of stuff. Sefer HaMinhagim? No, he doesn't quote that. There are other sources. One very last thing. Which not really is this, I found this to be fascinating, is there's also a minute to be asked Mechila Erev Yom Kippur. Now we know, people make a mistake. They think that you're supposed to ask Mechila Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's not correct. The day to the Mefayes Chaveroi, that's Meyuchad, to the Mefayes Chaveroi is Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is an Inyan Mefayes, and there's a long Shulchan Aruch. When to be Mephias, when not to be Mephias, how to be Mephias, v'chul, gansa maisa. But this is something that's very interesting, is that there's a minug, it's brought out of the Seder Hayim, I think it's in the Seder, which is an old Sefer, which says a very authentic minhagim. If I'm not mistaken, that's where it says this minug is, you only, the minug of being Mephias Chaveroi was not originally done Erev Yom Kippur. It was done Motzo Yom Kippur. Fascinating.
Why?
Because you're in a different frame of mind. It's an incredible. And Yom Kippur is Ben Adam Lamokim. When davening is over, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, and they close the Aron, V'hu Racham Yichapeh, they daven Ma'ariv, before you leave Shul, everyone goes over to each other and asks for Mechila. The original meaning of the Mavakesh Mechila Ish Meri Eyu Ben Odom Lachaveroi is Mitzoy Yom Kippur.
Is that part of Tzvila Zaka?
Things have changed. You never heard of this before. It does make a lot of sense. I'll tell you, you have to explain the alumnus. There's a lot of alumnus in this. Being Moichal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exactly. It says in the Chazal, you have to be medayik in the words, we're out of time, the Chazal said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not moichel until you first mefayes ish esrei eyu. Now simply, this is a very complicated Chazal, simply it means, there are two different types of averus. There are sins ben adam lamakayim, and there are sins ben adam lachaveroi. The pashtus is that the sins ben adam lamakayim are completely separate than the sins adam lachaveroi. And in the sins of adam lachaveroi, there are two elements. When you do an aver to your friend, there's also an element of you've sinned to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you cause your friend agmas nefesh, you have done two sins. You've caused a friend, a human being, agmas nefesh. But since every person is a chelik me'elokayim imal, you've also done an aver ben adam lamakayim. When Chazal say that Hashem does not forgive you until you get mechila from your friend, that's going on the aver of what you've done to your friend. I cause harm to my friend. So you need mechila from Hashem and from your friend. You're not going to get mechila from Hashem until you get mechila from your friend. But what about the averos that have nothing to do with my friend? Privately, I eat chazer. That's nothing to do with human beings. Oh, you don't need your friend. You go, that you don't need. Others say no. Even to get mechila for bin adam lamakam, you need your friends. Yom Kippur is over. You know, what do we think about Yom Kippur? There's a very deep, very, very deep idea that is extremely profound. Oh, I know, it's so important what probably Mayor's calling me now. Mayor Appleton is calling me. He thinks he wants it right exactly. So we'll get one from that. Let me just finish very quickly. What is the end of Yom Kippur? Hashem hu Elokim. Like we save the best for last, right? We save the best for last. Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim. And we say Hashem hu Elokim, Shnai Yisrael Baruch Hashem. Everyone is standing and screaming and Yamamashi. The whole Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Simei Shem Li, to the climax. Ha, 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 Hashem hu Elokim. And then they close the Aron. I said so. No. You know what pushes the energy, the gasoline that pushes the whole Elul, the whole Rosh Hashanah, the Aseres Yimei Teshuva, to Shemayim, L'chaim? It's not the Hashem Elokim. After you finish saying Hashem Elokim seven times, you turn to your friend. Do you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. Do you forgive me? Yeah. That is the spitz of Yom Kippur, which propels the koyach of teshuva ad l'shamayim. That's the way it was originally done. It's not Hashem Elokim Hashem. You know, we all come before Yom Kippur. You meichel me. Tefillah zaka. I meichel everyone. No one should be punished because of me. You meichel. And then we go into Yom Kippur and we daven. Hashem Elokim. I'm hungry, what's for dinner? No, the energy, think about it very deeply, it's incredible. Don't ask your friend mechila erev Yom Kippur. The mechila you're gonna ask him when Yom Kippur is over will be much more sincere because the whole day you're gonna be thinking about it. And then when you ask him mechila at the very end of Hashem Elokim, it's still Yom Kippur. Don't close, I'm making this up. But originally it would appear, I'm making this up, is before they close the Aron.
Say Tzilzaka.
Yeah, exactly. And then you go to each person. And then after everyone says Tzilzaka and they get Mechila, oh, now we close the Aron. That's the ultimate power that Hashem sees. You moichel each other? Oh, now Yom Kippur is complete. I take the whole Avoida of Elul Aseres Yimei Teshuva, and it brings it to a new stratosphere. And we have a shana of Chayim Toim L'Shalem. It's like yesterday, but Elvira, Mordechai Zelig, his son said to him, he had a son that spoke, Hespedim were Adla Hafli. Unbelievable Hespedim. One of his sons said that he once did to his father something very not nice. And he caused his father a lot of Agmas Nefesh. So he said, he asked his father, you know, Abba, I should ask you Mechila. But I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to say to me, of course I'm Meichel you. But before you ask me Mechila, be Meichel yourself. Be Meichel yourself. Before you ask me Mechila, I know you have a lot of Agmas Nefesh in your own personal life. Be Meichel yourself. Forgive yourself. And of course I'm Meichel you. That's exactly what we're supposed to do on Yom Kippur. We come to Ribbono Shel Olam. Are you Michael Klal Yisrael for all of the Averis that we did to you this year? Hashem says, of course I'll be Michael you. But first, be Michael yourselves. Forgive each other. And then, I'll be Michael you for all of the Averis of Olam Hakom. It makes so much sense that we should say Tefillah Zaka at the very end. And then you close your Anachimish. But that's not the minhag. Hanachlaim li Yisrael. In Einam Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im, we do Tefillah Zaka in advance. And when Yom Tov is over, V'hu Rachum Yechaper Olam. Okay, someone say Kaddish? I'm not going to cash for us because we're going to Zakas, Esra, Zichel, and Tarim, Shunemar, Adonai Chofetz, Laman Tzidkoi, Gag Deal, Tarim, Yadir. Al Gug Ben Shor of Heshi.
What's that?
Baruch Hashem, how are you doing? How's Lakewood? Where are you now? You're in Lakewood or you're in Florida?
Lakewood.
Enclave.
Across the street, Fairway.
No, Fairway. Everybody is here. Maybe
you're not going to be.
What's new?
Baruch Hashem.
You see.
So I heard it was Lavai yesterday.
Oh. Sorry?
I heard there was a Levi yesterday in Berlin.
Yes.
Index cards.
Very sad, very tragic.
Yeah. Was he 70?
Nah, no way. He wasn't 70. I don't know how old he was.
One second.
Rav Nosson is 68. So that means that oh, he's younger, so he's saying his mom is 70? No, they said he's the Bechor.
He was the Bechor?
That's what they said by the Levaya.
Or he's the Bechor.
I can't imagine he's, he can't be 70. Nosson, is you sure he's 68?
I'll tell you why, because they went from Shlomo Fry for one Purim,
yeah,
in the midst of Nosson in 1968. Born 1968 means he was born in 1955. She was married in 54.
I don't. If the math adds up, it's. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. They said by the law he was the Bukhar. That's what they said. They gave a whole hesped saying that the Rashiva Bukhar.
It's not even married 7 years. They got married in 1954.
He said he was married for 45 years by the Levaya. So if it was 45 years, so how old was he when he got married? Figure he was 22? I don't know. So that means he would be 67, 68? I don't know. I'm sure the newspapers will be written up in bold letters. I don't know. They said mamish. The whole hesped was.
No, someone said what?
I don't know anything. I don't know.
Was it Sandra Ramish? I think it's the oldest. The girl is the oldest child.
That's what he said.
Someone
could be. He made a whole hesped. Is that?
My son had the shaykes.
Very, very tragic.
Yeah.
I remember when I heard he was sick, I was so shocked. And
but he was in Yiddish Haredim a long time, right?
What?
He Wasn't he like out of, was he in a coma?
Yeah. I mean, the last time I saw him, not so long ago, I saw him about 2 months ago. He came to Yeshiva. I mean, I remember the last time I saw him. What he looked like, he was like out of a Frankenstein movie.
Oh, yeah.
He came to Yeshiva. The children brought him. He lost, he was like a skeleton. He had no beard. It's basically he had no beard. And he was disfigured. You know, he was a very tall person.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
So what they did to him, it was a horror. And also, when they had surgery, they took out of him his personality. Right? The surgery
changed
him. It was a different personality. It became like he was gone. He was like. And then it got worse and worse. Well, it was a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. Horrible, horrible thing. The whole thing from beginning to end was horrible.
Yeah. I remember he got sick while I was still in Brooklyn, which is almost like 2 years.
It was 2 years. It wasn't more. I don't think it was more than 2 years. Maybe a little more. Before he was acting strange. He was like, he had a brain tumor. So he was walking very, very strange. He was behaving not 100%. So they went, they did a whole workup on him, and they found this. He did surgery. And I don't think it was the primary what they found. Where they did surgery, and then it was not, whatever. You know how this goes.
Yeah,
you know,
it's fine. It's
never good. It's never good. Never, ever, ever good.
Anyway, a good Geben Shiar.
A good Geben Shiar.
And we should only hear good news.
Amen, amen.
All right. Have a good one. Okay.
Dr. Friedman, how are you? Long time no see. I saw someone who looks just like you this morning walking in the hall of the Young Israel of Midwood. It's look-alike. You must be a celebrity. Only the celebrities have look-alikes. You even sound like him.
Yeah.
That person was holding a lot of money in his hand.
It wasn't his, though.
All right.
A good Geben Shiar.
Sei gesund. A good Geben Shiar. Sei gesund. How's your show last night?
I think it was very well. I got just one, there was only Sanford Goldstein.
I asked how many people are on the chat. So 67 people are on the chat.
Oh, okay.
There are 67 people who get the chat.
It's how many people call in during the week if they remember to do it. You want to know something? My wife goes to a Sunday morning shiur in Kingsway with Rabbi Shiffman. And there are women there that have listened to my shiur, I know, because they tell them that they heard what I said. And so I know locally there are some people. I have no idea who.
My son went to Levaya, Yehuda. So. He has mixed emotions about the yeshiva or whatever. So I asked him, what was your shaykhus with him? He said, because he was another kid, let's say 31.